Morning. It's good to be with you today. It's been good to be here all weekend for this fall classic. I wasn't sure what to call it. I was calling it a youth retreat, and I guess that's what it is. I look out, I see some older people here this morning. So it's not all youth today, but what I'm going to do is just follow the theme that we've been following this weekend with the youth, and I was asked to do that, so I'm just going to carry on and do what we've been doing. And I want you to turn to John 6, if you've got a Bible with you. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. Just listen. If there's someone close to you that has a Bible, you can turn to it. Now, John is New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6. And this is the passage that we've been using all weekend as a kind of a springboard for the topic that we've been looking at. We've been looking at four questions. And the first question on Friday night was, is there a creator? And the second question we talked about Saturday morning, which religion is right? And the third question that we looked at last night is the Bible true? And this morning we're going to look at this question, who is Jesus? So John 6 and verse 60. And it says, therefore, John 6 verse 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples, let me read that again. Many, not a few, but many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for the beautiful weather that you've given us today. I thank you for health and strength, Lord, that we are able to be here today. And Father, I thank you for the country that we live in where we have so much freedom, Lord. We have peace, and we really have no idea what it is to be in want. As we look around the world and we see so many problems, so many conflicts in the world, we are so blessed, and we want to thank you for that this morning. We want to thank you that we can meet in a place like this, and we're allowed to do this freely in this country. We want to thank you that we have this book, the Bible, your word, and it tells us about who you are, and it tells us about the love that you have for us, and the desire that you have to have a relationship with us, to take us to heaven, to be with you. And Father, I just pray that you would help us this morning to realize that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know him, Lord, I pray that you would speak, that your Spirit would draw them to yourself, that they would come to know and believe, as Peter said, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that they would trust you. Father, I just pray whatever our need is this morning, you know everyone that's here, there's nothing hidden from you. You look right through us, Lord. You know our thoughts, you know our motives. And I just pray that your Spirit would speak to us all this morning. Father, just through your word, through what is said, Lord, that your voice would be heard, that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts and meet the need that we have today. And so I commit this time to you, and I pray for your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to use an overhead because, like I said, that's what we've been doing all weekend, and we're just going to I'm going to have that there, and I'm going to move the paper, and we're going to work our way down through what we're going to be looking at. I want to just set the stage a wee bit. when we read this passage here in John 6, let me just give you a simple kind of set the stage for what's going on here. Jesus has been teaching some things that are really, really difficult for his followers to accept. If you've got your Bible, if you've got a Bible there, just drop back to verse 60. It says, therefore, many of his disciples. That's interesting. He's not just talking here about a random crowd of people, but these are people who would claim to be followers of Jesus. They're disciples. We like what he says, and he appeals to us, and there's something good about Jesus, and he heals, and he does good things, and he feeds people. And so there were crowds of people that were being drawn to them, and some of them were saying, we want to follow you. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be your follower. And they're following, and they're going along. And then Jesus starts teaching them some things that are really difficult. And they're hard to understand. In the end of verse 60, he says, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And they're starting to struggle with this. And they're starting to, well, he's saying this. And maybe they don't quite understand what it is that he's saying. And they're wrestling with that. And they're starting to have doubts. They're starting to question in their mind, is he really the Messiah? Is he really the Christ? Those people were looking for the Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed. Christ means the same thing, anointed. They're looking for the king who's going to come and is going to rule over Israel and set up his kingdom, and that's what they're looking for. The Messiah would be the Son of God. And they're starting to question, is he really the Son of God? And as he's bringing this teaching and they're struggling and they're trying to make sense of it, they can't make sense of it. And so they're getting discouraged. And it says that in verse 61, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained. They're starting to complain. I don't get this. I don't understand this. What's he talking about? I mean, I thought he was going to do this, and I thought he was going to do that, and I want God to do this for me, and I want Jesus to do this for me. He's not doing what I want him to do. And so as they're struggling with this and they're beginning to doubt, Jesus says in verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe. At the root of the issue, here were people that were claiming to be followers of Jesus, and they didn't really believe in him. Okay, and I'm going to use a word, and I'm going to use this word. It's going to come up over and over. It's the word trust. They didn't actually trust him for the things that he was saying. They didn't have the confidence to say, whatever he says, I may not understand it. I might not get it. But you know what? I believe in him. I trust him. Absolutely. And some of them didn't. And so they're struggling. And it's going to get so bad, you drop down to verse 66. It says, from that time, and I read this twice to emphasize it, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, what we were doing this weekend and looking at these four questions, some of you are familiar with the term apologetics, it doesn't matter. This is a simplified version of that. What I was trying to do with the youth that were here this weekend is try to strengthen them in their faith. Why is it that we don't just have this mindless thing that we believe in Jesus? This is a kind of a mindless, senseless thing. Some people think faith is like that. They think believing in Jesus Christ, you don't have a brain, you check your brain at the door, not at all. And what I was saying as we worked through this with the youth this weekend, it makes sense to believe what we believe. And yet there were some as they were coming and they were having, and the whole thing rested on, what do you think of Jesus Christ? That's where we're going this morning. Who is he? And they were struggling with it, and they couldn't come to the place in their life and in their heart and in their spirit where they could absolutely trust him. And so they walked away. They walked away. And Jesus turns to the 12. 12. One of them was Judas. We know what Judas was going to do later on. And so he turns to these 12 and he says to them, and try to imagine this scene. I don't know whether 100 walked away or 50 or 60 or whatever, but Jesus is left with the 12. And in verse 67, he says, do you also want to go away? Are you going to give up too? Have you decided that it's not worth it to follow me? If you decided that you don't believe me and you don't trust me, and Simon Peter, bless him, this time he nails it. Sometimes he got it really wrong, but this time he nails it. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? What else offers us life? No one else speaks words of truth. I know I'm adding in here. And he says, you have the words of eternal life. And there is a sense, and I'm paraphrasing this statement, it's like Peter saying, nothing else makes sense in this world, in this life. And as we listen to you and we hear what you have to say to us, we're convinced you have the answer. You have the truth. You have the life that we're looking for. And he says, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, we believe it. We trust you, Lord. We don't understand these things either, and there's things that are difficult in life, and we don't get it sometimes, and we don't know exactly what you're saying, and I don't understand it all, and I can't figure it all out. But you know what? At the end of the day, Lord, we totally trust you, and we believe you are the Son of God. Well, what do you think? Who is Jesus? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. You can think that in your heart, and we'll just put you just tuck that away in your minds. Ask who do you think Jesus is? Who is he? You know, there are people that would say that they don't believe that Jesus ever existed, that was all made up. But of course, that's a very small minority of people, because his history itself, there's no question that Jesus existed. It's not really an issue. And you're not being sensible at all to say that he never existed. And so we've got to deal with this question then. Who is he? Who was he? Who is he? I would suspect that most people, if you went out and surveyed people in general, if you were to put this question, a lot of people would say something like this, and I've heard a lot of people say this in conversation and talking, well, who do you think Jesus? Well, he was a great teacher. Okay. He was a great teacher. I would agree with that. I think he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. But let's think about something for a moment, okay? Let's think about the claim that Jesus made that he was the Son of God. What we mean by that he was God in the flesh, okay? That God literally, that powerful being, that spirit that created us in the beginning, and we talked about that Friday night, he took on flesh and he became like us. He became a human being. Now that's who Jesus claimed to be. Now, some people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Well, let me just read a couple of passages for you. And just for times, if you want to turn to it, you can, but I'm going to read them quickly so I don't take too much time. This is in Matthew 26, verse 65. And Jesus is being interrogated by the high priest before he's going to be crucified. Now, listen to what the high priest says. It says, wait a minute here. I got to get my reference right. 26, okay, sorry, here we go. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, now listen to what the high priest says, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Are you really the Son of God? And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Now that term there, that phrase that we translate, it is as you said, or your translation might have it a little bit differently. Do you know what it literally means? It literally means Jesus was saying, yes, I am. You said it, and it's true. And so in their mind, Jesus was saying straight out, no question, that he was the Son of God. And then he says, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Look, now you've heard his blasphemy. Blasphemy because what? Because he said he was the Son of God. Because he said he was God. They understood it. So there's one case where Jesus said he was God. Go to John 8, same book we're in, John 8. If you want to turn to it, you can. If not, just listen to this. John 8, verse 56. John 8, 56. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, listen to what he says, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. You know what he's saying? I'm God. I am. I'm the I am. God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, and he said, I am. And this is the statement that Jesus makes. How do we know he was saying he was God? Well, look at verse 59. They took up stones to throw at him. They were going to stone him to death. Why? Because he was claiming to be God. Go a little further. John 9, verse 35. John 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. This is a man that he had healed. And when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And this is what the man says. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, verse 37, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Now, how can we say that Jesus never said he was the Son of God? John 10, verse 29. John 10, just one more. John 10, verse 29. "My Father," this is Jesus speaking, "who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now listen to what he says here. He says, "I and my Father," he's speaking to the Father in heaven, he says, "I and my Father are one." What was he saying? He's saying, "I'm God." How do we know he was saying he was God? Well, look at verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Blasphemy in their mind that he was saying he was God. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Do you want to keep going? Now, did Jesus claim that he was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh? Absolutely. You have those passages, you have the record of his own words out of his own mouth. So here we've got an issue. Who is Jesus? Well, was he just a great teacher? Was he just a great man, a good man who did good things and he said nice things, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and all those nice, wonderful teachings? And we get a warm, fuzzy feeling when we think about Jesus, but that's all he was just a man. Well, hold on a minute. Jesus said he was God. What are we going to do with that? Now, C.S. Lewis, who some of you have heard of, and if you haven't, that's fine. A Christian writer posed this years ago. And he said, well, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Either he, if he's saying he's the Son of God, either he's a liar, or secondly, he's a lunatic, or thirdly, he was telling the truth, and he's Lord. Well, which was it? Well, if he lied, you can't trust anything he said, right? He's a liar. And so if Jesus is saying he was the Son of God, and he's one with the Father, and all this stuff, if he's lying, you can't trust anything Jesus said. So the whole part about loving your enemies, doing good to those that hate you, praying for those that spitefully use you, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, all that great teaching that we love, and listen, that is incredible teaching. That teaching has molded, in some ways, the culture and the world that we live in. It has impacted this world. So now we're going to say, he's a liar. The person that taught all that is a liar. You see, that discredits everything that he said. And so, therefore, if he's a liar, you know what? He's not a great teacher, is he? If some professor in a university, you know, this great professor, teacher, whatever, and it's discovered that this paper that he wrote, he fudged all the results, and he manipulated the statistics, and he lied to prove his point, what would people do? He would be totally discredited. He's a liar. You know what? You can't trust him. Well, is that what you believe? About who Jesus is? Okay, what about this one? He's a lunatic. He was delusional, all right? Great man, good teacher, great things he said, but he kind of wasn't quite right. He thought he was the Son of God, and he was a little bit delusional about that. Now, honestly, would you trust someone like that? Could you? Would you say, well, okay, well, I believe everything that he said, and he's a great teacher, or most of what he said, but he was kind of out of his mind a little bit. You see, listen, if we take that position, you can't trust anything he said. And you're in the same dilemma. You got to say, well, who is Jesus? Well, he kind of lied. I don't really believe he was who he said he was. So you got to throw out his teaching. If he's delusional, you got to throw the whole thing out too. And then, of course, we come to this one. He was telling the truth. And if that's the case, he's Lord. Now, where does that lead us to? Okay, if he's Lord, then we must trust everything he said. He's God. He's Lord. He spoke the truth. He was and is the truth. And that brings us to a point where, I talked about this last night. We were talking about the Bible and trusting in the Bible. It really is an all or none thing. Either Jesus is who he said he is, and he is Lord, and he is God, or he's not. And I've got to decide which of those answers is right. And those disciples that day, as they were struggling with the things that they were hearing and they were wrestling through it all, they were deciding and they were choosing, and many of them, we read it, many of them walked away. What are you going to do with Jesus? You can walk away too. You can say, I don't believe it. I can't trust him. He lies. He's a liar. He must have been out of his mind. He must have been, or you can say, you know what? This has to be true. He's got to be Lord. He's got to be God. I want to move to this question, and this is one of the questions that we tackled and we went through, and we're not going to repeat all that we said, but this whole thing brings us back circle to which religion or faith is right, and that was one of the issues that we talked about, we discussed. We talked about the idea of pluralism, and I didn't use that term, but pluralism, that every religion, everything that everyone believes is okay. It's all okay. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can believe this religion, you can belong to that religion, you can belong to that sect, you can belong to this group. And as long as you're a good person and you're trying your best and you're doing your best to follow your faith or religion, or maybe you don't have any faith or religion, but you're just trying to be a good person, a nice person, and do good things, that's all okay. And in the end, hopefully, if there's a heaven and if there's a God, we're going to be okay and we're going to get there. That is the mantra of the time that we're living in right now. You know that, right? In the political correct world, and we talked about that, how if we say, no, I don't believe that, I don't agree with that, or I think that's wrong, we're labeled as someone that hates or we're intolerant. Let me read some of the words of Jesus again. John 3, just back up to John 3 if you got your Bible. And it's just a little bit further back there from John 6, John 3. Let's read some of the things that Jesus said. Now, verse 16 of this chapter, this is an absolutely incredible verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, why did God have to do that? Because we've sinned. We've done things that are wrong. We've offended God. We're born in sin, and we commit sin, and we do sin. And Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's like if there was a target on the wall back there, and I took a bow and arrow, whatever, and I could probably hit it from here. But if it was further back, and I pulled it, and I shot, and the arrow went, and it missed, and it fell short, it missed the mark. That's us. Every one of us. Doesn't matter whether you're a good living person, a bad living person, we're all tarred with the same brush. We're all sinners. And we can't do anything to save ourselves. We try, but we can't. And God knew that, and so he sent his Son. He so loved the world, he so loved you, he so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came into the world, and he went to the cross, and he died for a sin on that cross. And he paid the price for a sin. And this is what Jesus says. He says that whoever believes in him, that's the Son of God, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants to save you. That's his heart. He wants you to know him. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you, when you die, to spend eternity with him. That's what he wants. But look at verse 18. Listen to verse 18. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, just listen to this. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, my friends, that is exclusive teaching. That is Jesus drawing a line right through the middle of all of humanity. And he's saying all of humanity can be divided into two groups. Those who believe in me and those who don't. Those who have acknowledged that I'm the Son of God and they put their trust in me, and those who have said, no, I don't trust him, I can't trust him, I'm not prepared to do that. And he says, those that have believed in me have everlasting life. And the judgment of their sin is passed from them because I've dealt with that judgment. Those who do not believe in me are under condemnation and under judgment. John 14 and verse 6, one more verse, and then we're going to keep going. John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, he's in a conversation with his disciples, he's talking to Thomas, and maybe I'll back up to verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Jesus is talking about leaving his disciples. He's talking about the fact that they don't understand that he's going to go to the cross and die, and he's going to ascend into heaven after he dies and he rises from the dead. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? How can we get to where you are? How can we, if I can put it this way, how can we get to heaven? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now look at the end of verse 6. Listen to this. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Which religion is right, according to Jesus? Well, Christianity. Well, hold on a minute here. Is it religion that we need? Is it, okay, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. We got a couple of young people that are being baptized in a few minutes. Praise God for that. You know what? These young people getting baptized, they know that's not going to get them to heaven. And so it's not getting baptized or going to church and thank you for coming to church and please keep doing it. But none of that gets us to heaven. It's not a system. And so it's not religion in the sense of a system. I got to believe in the system and I got to do this and I got to do this, whether it's Christianity and baptism or whether it's the five pillars of Islam or whether it's the levels of consciousness of Buddhism, my work. I got to do all this to get to God. It's not that. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, you need me. That's what he's saying. You need me. And the message of Jesus Christ is it's not about a system of religion or works or doing things. That will never save you. You need me to save you. It's about a person. We need him. And it's about a relationship with that person and knowing him and coming into a relationship with him. That's the issue. And so the question becomes, if that's the case, do I trust his teaching? Do I really believe this? I mean, Jesus is telling me this. Do I really believe it? And the whole thing boils down to this question. Is he really Lord? Is he really who he claimed to be? And if he is, and if maybe you're here this morning and this is speaking to you, God's Spirit is speaking to you, and it's you don't quite understand it, but there's something drawing you, there's something pulling you towards this. And I pray that your heart will be open to this, because I think if that's the case, if that's what's happening in your heart right now, you know what God is saying? Jesus is saying, I want you to come to me. Come to me. Trust me. That's what he's saying. Trust me. Put your confidence in me. Surrender your all to me. And you come to me, and I will give you eternal life. I will forgive your sins. I will cleanse your righteousness. I'm the Savior. I died for your sin on the cross. I paid for it. I rose from the dead, and I can give you that life. But you have to trust him. There's no other way. It's not a system of doing things. It's simply by faith saying, Jesus, I believe this. I want it. I need this. And I need you. Well, let's go back to these disciples and their struggle. And we talked about this earlier, just flipping back to John 6, and here's the dilemma that they had. And Jesus knows that there are some of them that are sitting there and listening to him, and they're standing there and they're hearing these things. And he says in verse 64, there are some of you who do not believe. And many of his disciples, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I mentioned, I don't know if it was last night or the other day when I was reading this passage, I mentioned with the youth, I said, this has to be one of the saddest passages in all of the Bible. Because here we have people, think about this, who have walked with Jesus. They're disciples. They've been following him. They've been listening to his teaching. They've been watching the things that he does. They've been seeing the miracles. And it's like here is God in the flesh standing right in front of them. And the conclusion that they come to is, he's not who we thought he would be, and he's not doing for me what I thought he would do, and I'm having a hard time with this, and I just can't believe this, and I can't trust him. And they walk away from him. And they walked with him no more. What a tragedy that is. You know, there are, I'm sure, people sitting here this morning, and as you face that dilemma, that question, who is Jesus, and you're confronted with it, and you've got to decide, what do I do with this person? What do I believe about this person? You're gonna make a choice. You're going to make a decision. And there are some of you that are going to walk away. Is that you? This is the one who created you. This is the one who, listen to what I'm going to say, who loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've guilty of, this Savior, this God, this Lord, he wants to forgive you, restore you, bring you into a relationship with himself, and take you to heaven for eternity with him. And he loved you so much, and he wanted that to happen so much, he paid the price for you. You see, that's what the cross is all about. Someone had to pay for sin. Jesus was willing to pay for our sin, and he did it all. And he let those people beat him and abuse him and torture him and spit in his face and nail him to the cross. Why didn't he stop that? He could have stopped it just like that. But it was the only way. It was God's plan. It was the only way that you and I, that our sin could be dealt with. And he did it for you. And he did it for me, and he died on that cross. But he didn't stay dead. Because he's God, and you can't kill God. And because he never sins, the wages of sin is death, here's a man who never sinned. And because in his power, and he rose from the dead, he has power over death, he has a power of life, he has a power of eternal life, and he wants to give you eternal life. It's a gift that he offers to you. But the bottom line is this, you've got to trust him. I love the answer of Peter. Here it is again. Let's take a look at it one more time. And think of Jesus turning to them and saying, do you also want to go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I mentioned this earlier. Let me say it again. In some way, what I hear Peter saying is nothing else makes sense. When I was 17, 18 years old, 19 years old, 16, and struggling with all this, and I don't know if this is true, and is the Bible true, and is Jesus real, and is there a heaven, and is there a hell, and maybe evolution is right, and the whole thing, and I'm wrestling with all this, I thank God that there was a day when God brought me to a point where I realized and I understood, you know what, that this has to be true. And I believe it's true. And I believe and know that you are the Christ. I don't have all the answers. I can't explain everything. I don't know why things happen in the world the way that they do. Some I might have an idea, but a lot of it I don't. And it's confusing and it's overwhelming sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know what I know? I believe that Jesus is God's Son, and I totally trust him. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. And I hold on to that. Now, if he's Lord, and you know him, one more challenge before I stop. Are we living like he is Lord? You see, believing that is one thing great, good thing, I trust him for salvation. I want to get to heaven. And so I come to Christ and I ask him to save me and forgive me my sins. And by the way, you can do that sitting where you are right now. You can talk to God. And it happens, and thank God, I know I'm saved now, and I'm forgiven, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm trusting in Jesus. And now I can live however I want to live. No. No. You see, if he's Lord, then he's worthy of what? He's worthy of everything that I can give him. And if he's Lord and God, my heart ought to be to say, Lord, you deserve it all. Here's my life. It's yours. Whatever you want to do with me, whoever you want to use me, it's all yours. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. Whatever it is that you want me to do, I want to do it for you. I want to bring glory and honor to you because you are my Lord, you are my God, and you paid the price to save me. And Paul puts it this way, says, you've been bought at a price. And what a price God paid for us. And does he not deserve everything that we can give to him? Do you trust him? Who is Jesus? Is he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? And if he's Lord, then that calls us, does it not, to trust him completely? Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning. Lord, there are so many things that we don't understand, the things we don't have answers to. And Lord, even when we look in the Bible, there are things that you don't tell us. There are things that are a mystery to us. And Father, in life, as we go through experiences, some of us have experienced hurts and pains that cause us to question whether there even is a God. And if there is a God, why would he allow these things to happen? And Father, we think of the disciples of Jesus' day as they ran into those hard issues, those difficult questions, and they were tested. And the test really ultimately was, did they trust Jesus? Did they really believe that he was who he said he was? And many of them walked away. Lord, I pray that no one here this morning would walk away from Jesus. Father, bring us to a place that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts to bring us to a place where we would say, I believe this. I believe him. I trust him. There's nothing I can do to save myself. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And I believe in that. Father, those of us who know Jesus, help us to walk in the truth that he is Lord, he's God, and he deserves everything that we have. And we need to trust you, Lord, every day too. Trust you enough to say, God, my life is yours. And I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for you. And God, give us the strength and the grace to do that. Lord, I thank you for these young people that are going to be baptized. I thank you for the testimony that's going to be demonstrated in the fact that they have trusted Jesus. And they're going to say to us publicly right now in what they're going to do, they're going to tell us all that they believe that Jesus died for them and they've died with Jesus, spiritually speaking, and they're being raised up into a new life and they're testifying to that truth. And I pray that you would bless them in their life, that they would bring glory and honor to you. And so I pray that your Spirit would speak to all of us again, whatever need we have. And we just commit your word to you and the remainder of this day to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.